Bear with us, we have a few technical issues. There was some Sam there, I do apologise. Let me just read to you from God's word that always comes out right. And I want to read to you from Luke's Gospel before I say hello to you all, but just to set the scene for this morning's service, we'll read these words. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And then Luke puts this in brackets to contextualize it. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. In other words, if you don't read the Bible, this is a historical fact. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who he was pledged to be married to, and she was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Probably been a hectic day for you, a hectic weekend. It has certainly for me. So let's just spend a moment in prayer. In all the chaos, Lord, of COVID, the chaos of this Christmas, sometimes we don't have room for you, like the inn never had room for Mary and Joseph. And so as we gather as part of the congregation of London Road Baptist Church with friends and visitors and family, may we see you afresh this Christmas. We would ask within the chaos of Christmas that mirrors the chaos of that first Christmas, that we would encounter you afresh. And all that is familiar to us will become profound as we re-engage and maybe engage for the very first time the Saviour of the world. Thank you, Lord, that Isaiah tells us that Emmanuel, God, is with us. And so thank you, Lord, that God is with us now. And so Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our midst. May we worship you this morning like the Magi. May we leave joyfully your presence like the shepherds. Amen. Well, let me just one or two notices. It's a bit of a funny day today. We still don't quite know. I think everybody will have had their plans dashed in some way or another. So we've got this service this morning, and it's really good to see some of you out this morning. Let me just say to you, those who are watching online and at home, you know, we're with you, and it's good for us all to be together. Let me just say something about where we are. We are going to live stream very shortly, but we've got certain technical issues. We've been recording our services like a production and then putting them on YouTube. Very shortly we're going to be live streaming. We need to spend some money to get the right equipment, and so there's teething problems, and so Phyllis will be contacting church members so that we can have a sort of an emergency church meeting just after Christmas to authorise that expenditure to do that. Next week there is no service. There is one on the 3rd of January. Continue to use a booking system, and that will involve communion, and we've gone to the trouble of purchasing you little, like, I don't know, they could be, let's call them LBC Happy Meal Communion Packs. And you will get your own little container and that. So we'll be doing that hopefully safely, but we'll be looking very closely at what the necessary COVID legislation is. Today's a really busy day because this afternoon we've got a wedding. And so do remember Ricky and Lou, and I've got their wedding at 2 o'clock, and we still quite don't know what's happening because there's guests all over, and that's challenging. You're a guest this morning, but there's certain conditions. You got to wear your masks, I'm sorry. We can't sing, but if you mumble under your mask, If I don't see your lips moving, then I'm willing to let that go. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to wave your hands, but you've got to keep within your own proximity. So if everybody can move sort of like 2 meters to the left and 2 meters to the right in synchronization, we could give that a go. Otherwise, just stand where you are and worship God as you feel fit this morning. When we finished, we can't hang around. It is just draconian, the legislation, and it's tightening up. So if you can have a chat with each other, then do that on the footpath, and then we can deny all responsibility. And I'm really sorry, I'm really frustrated, but I'm really pleased to be with some of my congregation here this morning. Liz had a wonderful day at Witten yesterday. Shout out loud, Liz, and tell us what happened.
We had a come and meet Father Christmas through the window and receive a gift from him and to take away Christmas dinner. All in all, we gave away 53 Christmas dinners and 33 presents that we gave as well. So it was a good day. Lots of ho-ho-hoing.
Yeah. And then Fern, shout out, how many bags have we given out now? Yeah. So lots of people working so hard behind the scenes, and Phyllis produced a sort of an extensive Christmas list to let you know what's happening. Jen, how are things going with the young people?
We have now finished. We have our Christmas party on Thursday, where we have snacks and drinks and our own pouches. We're going to deliver
a patch. And that's it. Fantastic. So lots of things happening, but it's very challenging. If you brought a gift with you this morning, and giving is part of your act of worship this morning, thank you for all you wonderful people that have continued to give through standing orders. There is a retiring bucket at the back. I'm going to hand over to Ray now, and Ray's going to lead us, and I'm going to come and share God's word with you and one or two thoughts later.
Morning. As I was preparing for this, these verses came to my mind. Just going to share them with you. It's from Luke 2, 16 to 20. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. The shepherds shared their encounter with the angels. Acting upon what they had heard, they hurried and found that everything the angels told them was true. And Mary listened. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. This Christmas, why don't we ponder like Mary did? Remind yourselves of the things that God has laid on your heart. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, what the Almighty has done, and what he is still doing. Ponder anew what Christ means to you. Ponder anew what it means to have Emmanuel, God with us. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. How will you leave today? Just tick the box, church done, end of. Or you leave here like the angels did, glorifying God. We're going to come and sing, O Come All Ye Faithful.
angels knew from long ago, that God so loved the world and would not let it go. And prayers of saints across the years were crying out for a Messiah to appear.
Reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. and her husband Joseph being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until he had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. We're just going to watch a small video clip now.
She's back. Joseph. Joseph.
An angel told you this, that you would bear the Son of God. Mary.
Elizabeth had a baby, even in her old age.
Elizabeth has a husband.
Have been put to death for this. They could stone you in the street.
Do you understand?
You should have stayed with Elizabeth.
Father. Father, I have broken no vow.
Oh, you have broken every vow, Mary. Was it one of Herod's soldiers? Was it?
I have told the truth. Whether you believe is your choice, not mine.
Just got a couple of notes this morning. I'll probably just ad-lib most of what I want to say, but I put at the top of my notes there, not going as planned. It's not going as planned, is it? Christmas is not going as planned. I have no idea what's happening on Friday. I think there'll be a lot of cheap turkeys. That's the only thing I can see. Everyone will be eating turkey into January. Your fridges are full and you don't know who's going to eat it. All planned and everything has gone into chaos. And what I want to present you to this morning is that Jesus coming into the world was chaotic. And none of it was planned. And good people experienced horrific situations because they never knew the beginning from the end and they were caught up in the middle. And us as a congregation, us as a community, we're caught up in the middle of the chaos of COVID at Christmas. Now, when we look at the situation with Mary, it wasn't going as planned. Mary had got engaged to Joseph. That was the good bit. That is the bit that they planned. They thought they were in control. And 2,000 years ago, you got engaged in the Jewish world, and that was the same as being married. But what you did, the son or the husband went back to his family's house and they put an extension on the house, and it took about a year. There was no planning department to satisfy, but there was a building to be built, and you planned an extension on your house, and so you went and you bought your bride back to the parents' house. That's why John uses that metaphor, in my father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you, and I will go back to bring you to be where I am. It parallels to a Jewish wedding. And so this couple was engaged, and all of a sudden Mary's pregnant, and she says, how can this be? It's a reasonable question, isn't it? It's a reasonable question to ask God. How can this be? I've not slept with anybody. This is madness. How can it be? We're in the chaos. God is involved. And then we've got the chaos of poor old Joseph. The word of God says that Mary was blessed. And you are blessed this morning, but life isn't going as you want it to go. You can be blessed and life can stink. But the Bible tells us in Matthew's gospel that Joseph was a righteous man. Do you know what the word righteous means? It means to be right with God. So we've got one girl who's blessed who ends up pregnant. We've got this bloke who's hurting. And all of a sudden Mary turns up pregnant. It's public. And the word of God says that because he's a decent guy, he's going to divorce her, have nothing more to do with her. But because he's righteous, he doesn't want his pound of flesh, because in the ancient world, like the woman caught in adultery, talked about in John's gospel, the destiny for Mary was to be stoned by the community. So let's go back to Mary. Mary thought she was coming back to an execution, to mob rule. She'd left Auntie Elizabeth and she came back. Her dad doesn't believe her, her mum doesn't believe her, and Joseph doesn't believe her. What it is to be blessed. Who wants to be blessed like that? Who wants this wretched COVID and still think that God is in control? Yet God's involved in all of this. And God is still involved in your life, although it's not going to plan. Those of you that said illness, those of you that got heartache, those of you that don't know where your money's coming from, God is still saying you're blessed. But what I want to say to you is this. I'm going to put this slide up because this sums up the Christmas story. Everything will be okay in the end. Because that's what God promises us. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. If you remember one thing of what I say this morning, I'm telling you that if you are a Christian person, everything is going to be okay in the end. And we read the nativity story knowing the end. But the players in the story lived in chaos and never knew the end. Not believed. Misunderstood. Called blessed, called righteous, and living in chaos. And then it seems rather crazy because the word of God tells us that everybody, of all the times in human history, Luke says this whole lot happened in the reign of Quirinus, and everybody had to go back to their place of origin, to their father's house. I'd have to go back to York. That's nearly in heaven, may I say. And so, not only is this girl pregnant, Joseph is given a visit by an angel who says, look, I'm in this. It doesn't mean to say you liked it. And they've got to go to Bethlehem. Surely, if there's a God, give Mary a break. Give Joseph a break. Surely she needs a mum and dad at this time. And so she gets on a donkey as something like there. We worry about getting to James Padgett. I've had two children, I know. It's a lot of puff and panting. It's hard work. I've been there. So surely there's a God. And we've got a problem now that if we get COVID, is there going to be a bed for us at James Padgett? There weren't even a room and a maternity block for Mary. Surely God's in it. Surely the Son of God, if I'm blessed and my husband's righteous, surely I'm going to get good accommodation. And so they end up in Bethlehem. But even in these challenging times, there's little glimmers that God's involved in the story. Because following this birth, and it's a birth that is overshadowed with the possibility of the brutal murder of your child, because King Herod is out now to kill the new babies. Add that into the story. You've held your child for the very first time. You've marveled at the wonder of God's creation. You've held the fingers. You looked at the feet. The father's looked a bit weird. He didn't really get what's happening. And the local authorities are now out to kill your child. There's no police force like Chris to stop this. There's whole-scale slaughter in the community. And then three people turn up, and you're thinking, how am I going to manage this? And so you become a refugee. A refugee crisis is nothing new. Jesus was a refugee. He has to go to Egypt. God's got a heart for the refugee. And if we call them a refugee problem, God knows what it's like in Jesus Christ to be a refugee problem. If we call them asylum seekers and refugees, we don't have to call them Mary and Joseph. We can depersonalize the whole thing. But Mary and Joseph were refugees, and they end up having to go to Egypt. So even after the birth of this baby, there's no rest from the hardship. But there's little glimmers of hope, because suddenly you give birth and three blokes turn up. You don't know who they are. They never brought a casserole or out like that. They weren't practical. They bring myrrh. Do you know what myrrh is? It's embalming fluid. Have a word with Nick. Well, that's a lot of use, isn't it? Look like we put the wrong code in Amazon. We've been on eBay and we got what we didn't order. But then it's significant because myrrh is what the Old Testament used to anoint a prophet. But the good thing about myrrh is it doubles up as baby lotion. And myrrh is first century Johnson's baby powder, baby lotion. Because this God was born a human being. And if he didn't put myrrh on his bottom, it'd get sore. That's the humanity of this God who was born into our world. He needed his bottom cleaning. And his body would be bruised and broken, as we later hear in the story. And then somebody comes along and says, I'll give you some frankincense. Well, I hate the stuff. It stinks. It's like going into a body shop. If you want to smell frankincense, go and see Esther. She's always lighting it in the office. It stinks. And when Jen and Liz come out of the office, they stink too, because you've got that frankincense on you. But frankincense is for a king, because this refugee's child was born king. He never born to become a king. He was born king and he's king today. But that frankincense also keeps flies away. And where were they going? They were going to Egypt. And at that time, Egypt was the Nile, and it was the grain baron of the Roman world, and it was a fly-infested place. So there's little glimmers of God's good. So he gives myrrh for his son's bum. He gives frankincense to keep the flies away. But then, how is this poor carpenter going to support himself for 3 or 4 years in Egypt? Well, there's another little glimmer of hope, because one of the kings says, I'm going to give you gold. Not only do I recognize that your son is king, I'm going to bring my provision. And in this chaos Christmas, do look for God's provision. Because people are going to do acts of kindness for you, and you can do acts of kindness for other people. And we can see in the chaos, there's little glimmers of light. And then the family come home. Small community. They didn't go to another place, they went back to Galilee. There's the ones who had to get married. There they are. They'd run out of money. They were poor people. If you're having financial hardship this Christmas, let me tell you, I've told you that Jesus was a refugee, but I know for a fact he was poor. Because Luke tells us that when Jesus went to the temple, when Joseph and Mary went to the temple for the kind of christening, you could say, the kind of baptism, the time of circumcision, they had to bring a gift. And all Mary and Joseph could bring was 2 doves, which was the lowest legal amount. So in the chaos of poverty, in the chaos of a refugee, with the anomaly of a couple called righteous and blessed, the chaos continues. But then there's other little glimmers of hope, because they go back to Jerusalem when he's about 7 years old. And the word of God says that people marveled. So in the chaos, they had a son that was marveled. In an earlier visit, Simeon confirmed all that was happening and said, look, the end isn't here yet, because your son is born as a light of revelation for all people. And so the story continues. If you've got a broken relationship this morning in the chaos, if you're divorced this morning, understand this, that the reality is that we don't know when, but Joseph died. This Jesus was part of a one-parent family. How do we know that? We know that because Joseph is no longer mentioned, and when Jesus does his first miracle at Cana of Galilee at the wedding, his mother went to her son, but that would have been the role of a husband. So these blessed people was born into chaos, they were refugees, and they were poor. And then you do your best for your son, and your son becomes head of the house. But about 30 years of age, his cousin goes off the rails. He starts eating locusts and putting on weird clothing. We're not talking about Rick in his loons in the 60s. We're talking about really weird. And his cousin goes off the rails, and I bet they're thinking, I hope my son ain't going to fall asleep. And then at 30 years of age, he does a runner. And everybody doesn't get it. And he annoys the authorities. It's not going as Mary planned, but the end isn't there. And then the word of God tells us something awful. That this Jesus, this refugee, who came out of chaos, isn't killed by Herod when he's a baby. He's nailed on a cross in front of his mother at 33 years. And she's weeping in the crowd. She's weeping in the crowd. Because Jesus becomes the Savior of the world, the one who can forgive not because of the Bethlehem story, but because of the Calvary story. It all happens at the end. Because everything will be okay in the end, and if it's not okay, it's not the end, and the end isn't there, and the cross isn't the end. I know we put a cross up there, but the cross isn't the end. Because the cross for Mary on Friday was watching her own son die. But the end comes Sundays. The end comes on Sunday. When the angel says to the visitors to the tomb, "He is not here, he is risen." But that's not the end for Mary. Because the end for Mary is when she's in the upper room. At Pentecost. With the rest of the believers. In the power of the Holy Spirit. When God came back. And the Christmas story makes sense. And Jesus came back. And he looked his mother in the face and said, "It's okay, Mum. I'm risen." And one day this same God will look you in the face and say, "It's okay. I'm going to make everything new." Because there'll be no more crying and there'll be no more pain. And this chaos will come to an end. And we'll be with him forever, just like Mary. And that's the Christmas story. The Christmas story doesn't end in a stable. It ends at some time in the future when that Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I'm making everything new." And so for us gathered this morning, everything will be okay. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. And you go home and you remember what you've heard this Christmas. Amen.
It's wonderful to know, isn't it, that in amidst all that chaos, Emmanuel, God is with us. And during all this chaos that we're going through, we can take strength in knowing that God is still with us. We're going to sing a carol, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Thank you. We're going to watch a video now, which is our closing prayer.
Amen. Well, thank you. The only remains for me to say is have a happy Christmas. It may be a different Christmas, but the prayers would be that we are all safe and our loved ones are safe as well. So have a wonderful time.